Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished professional and author from Wellington, New Zealand, Mr. Christopher Miller. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Christopher is an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled The Joy of Finding Fish, F-I-S-H, which stands for Fulfillment, Inspiration, Success, and Happiness. So, Christopher, before we talk about your book, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Sure. I've spent an interesting life in different parts of the world. I grew up in Canada and graduated with a couple of degrees before I immigrated to the United Kingdom. And when I was in the United Kingdom, I had a pharmaceutical executive career for about 12 years, mostly in marketing, and really that's where I met my wife, and our eldest child was born in Glasgow, and I lived in London, Brighton, Glasgow, and Edinburgh. And my wife had an interesting infatuation with New Zealand and informed me when we met that we would eventually be living in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, several years after we met and after we got married, we immigrated to New Zealand. Oh, wow. And we've been and I've been living here for the last 15 years. When I left the United Kingdom, I had the chance to train as a coach as part of my management skill. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't know was that I would fall in love with coaching as a profession. And so I left pharmaceuticals when I moved to New Zealand and I entered into the business coaching world. And I coached small to medium sized businesses for about 3 years. And then I joined the management consulting firm Gallup, where I trained as a Clifton Strengths coach and did a lot of culture projects and employee engagement projects, and did a lot of corporate and executive coaching using Clifton Strengths. And then in 2017, I set up my own coaching and mentoring practice and have been running that for the last six
years. So today, we're not going to talk about coaching and mentoring. We'll focus primarily on your book. So let me start by asking you the first question. What inspired you to write The Joy of Finding Fish?
Well, the book began with really me wanting to document some of my coaching processes. Mm-hmm. And so my relationship with clients, my relationship with my family, the way I live purpose and values and discovering your life roles and finding your greatest imaginable challenge, I wanted to put into words on the paper some of my processes. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting and very sad thing about the journey of writing the book is I wrote the first 8 chapters with my wife Fiona as editor and muse, but unfortunately, while I was writing the book, she got diagnosed with brain cancer. Oh, no. and passed away in 2021.
So sorry.
So that was no, thank you. That was very hard, hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. Mm-hmm. But it made the book a very different, very different publication because I wrote the last 5 chapters of the book 3 months after she passed away. Mm-hmm. And the last 5 chapters are about resilience and gratitude and grieving and love. And it really, for me, the book became a tribute to my wife and how she lived her life. But also it became a record for my sons. I have a 20-year-old and a 15-year-old, and I wanted them to remember their mother. So the book is my life's lessons, both before, during, and after losing Fiona.
Wow, what an amazing story. And thank you for sharing such a personal story with us on our podcast. So then let's talk a little more about the book then, Christopher. And we'll come to the second part of the your second 5 chapters a little later. How does your book address the concept of finding fulfillment?
So in the book, I define fulfillment as living your purpose every single day. And in the book, I talk about the privilege that humanity has being the only living thing on the planet who can actually write down or think about and commit to a purpose and change it every single day if we so wish. And so a lot of the content around fulfillment is the process of discovering or creating your purpose, mm-hmm. and then strategies for living your purpose every single day. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How does it exist in your family life, in your personal life, in your working life? Purpose comes in all shapes and sizes, mm-hmm. and it's rather it's purpose-led organizations are becoming more and more common around the world, and mm-hmm. they provide meaning for a lot of people. But I believe firmly that people need to have alignment. They need to know what their own personal purpose is, and then choose an organization that has a clear purpose that fits with their future. Mm-hmm. And so I have played with my own purpose statement over the last 15 years, and I encourage my clients and my readers to do the same.
Well said. You know, your book also talks about happiness. So my question is, what are some misconceptions about finding happiness that your book challenges?
The biggest one that I frame is the link between gratitude and happiness. And I believe they are deeply interlinked, and that you can find happiness in any moment just by finding some gratitude. And so there's a rather ironic story that I share in the book around the time when I lost Fiona, and she got exceptional care in a palliative care home. And the quality of the relationship that we had with the nursing staff and the doctors and the caregivers and the cooks and the cleaners, mm-hmm. like the wraparound relationship that my family had with those people, mm-hmm. meant that even in the middle of losing my wife, there were things that I could see that I could be grateful for.
Amazing.
And so that paradigm for me, mm-hmm. just finding something to be grateful for can mm-hmm. almost always boost your happiness.
Amazing. Thank you. And what are some key strategies for finding inspiration that you discuss in your book?
In the book, I really focus on the variety that someone brings to their life around inspiration. So one of the interesting things that I talk about is how individual people's journey of fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness is. And inspiration is probably the strongest of those, because what inspires me doesn't look like what inspires you. Mm. And so some of the process is self-awareness. Mm. Do you have a good sense of the types of experiences, both previous and new experiences, that mm-hmm. will bring you inspiration? Mm-hmm. Do you have a record of some of those things? Do you know, most people know what their favorite movies are, mm-hmm. or their favorite singers on iTunes. Mm-hmm. But do they consciously plan their day for moments of inspiration? Mm-hmm. Do you inject inspiration into your day, even after a hard day's work? How do you inspire yourself at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. It might be with exercise. It might be with what you listen to. It might be with your time with your family. It's having a sense of how personal that is to you and being deliberate about it on a daily basis.
Well said. Well said. My next question is, what role do personal strengths play in achieving happiness, as you have outlined in your book?
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of strengths philosophy and mm-hmm. knowing what you're good at. And I think we all, there's lots written about a state of flow or a really high state of performance in life. And there's a correlation between playing to your strengths mm-hmm. and experiencing happiness. It's one of those ironies that if you find work you love and you're very good at it naturally, then work no longer feels like work, and work can be happy every single day. And so knowing what your natural talent is, knowing what you're exceptional at, knowing what you were born for. So it's a connecting your purpose with your strengths and linking it to happiness. They all kind of integrate, but there are, I feel there are, we're slowly moving away from parental expectation or grandparent expectation or society expectation and giving kids especially the chance to do what they love and love what they do and then find a way to get paid for it. So I think that'll be an interesting shift over the next few decades potentially.
Thank you. And how has writing this book changed your perspective on life and success?
That's a great question. I never thought I could write a book. I didn't know I could find the energy and the inspiration to write a book. And the fact that I was able to write a book on either side of losing my wife to cancer has made me realize that I have more strength than I ever imagined. And it took a lot of courage to put some of what I put into the book because it is very personal, but I felt that Fiona would have loved it that way. She would have wanted me to be that transparent about our family and about our journey and to tell the lessons that were embedded in that. So it's changed me a lot. It's given me a lot of conviction around what I do and how I do it and the courage to keep writing, so which is fun.
And given the fact that you were in Canada, you were in the UK, now you're in New Zealand, have the different cultures and countries influenced any of the insights in your book?
I think some of the examples are international in nature. So I refer to our wedding in Edinburgh, for example, at St. Giles Cathedral and the Balmoral Hotel. I tell stories of my achievements very early in life out of Canada, finishing university. So there's an internet, the examples and the case studies are international in nature. I think the philosophy, so fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness transcends geography. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. They are relevant and important to I believe, everybody on the planet. And one of the things that I started to do over the course of writing the book and have since captured about 2.5 years worth of data is I measure my fish score on a daily basis. I score myself out of 10 on fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness. And the important part about doing that is I know when my 0000 days were, and I know I can count on one hand or two hands my 10, 10, 10, 10 days. And realizing that contrast is really helpful and powerful. And I think everyone in life, if you ask anyone in life, what were the top 3 days of your life? Most people would remember them and be able to articulate how they felt on those days. And so my fish score is just a numerical way of validating the best days of your life.
Well said. You know, Christopher, in your book, you talk about fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness. How do you approach the topic of overcoming adversity?
There's a chapter that I wrote after Fiona passed away called Resilience. And the Resilience chapter tries to paint the picture that you can find fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness even when life is going really badly wrong. And that your resourcefulness as a human being is always there. It's always there. It may get crushed to a very small amount, but it is always there to be built upon. And so the examples of resilience that I include in the book, 5 days after my wife passed away, my youngest son, who would have been 11 or 12 at the time, had a basketball game, and it was an important basketball game for his team, and he was a relatively good player on his team, and my eldest son was coach of that team. And the boys, 5 days after Fiona passed away, insisted that we were going to that game. And I sat in the audience a bit awestruck that they had the resilience to follow through on the game, won the game. My youngest son was named MVP. And so that for me is an image that I will never forget of how to overcome, of strength in the face of adversity. And I have other examples in the book that kind of line up with that story.
Amazing. Thank you. I've time for two or three more questions. How can readers apply the principles of the joy of finding fish in their daily lives? And one, of course, you said you are able to measure your fish score every day.
Yeah, I think if people are intrigued about measuring their fish score, I have a quick quiz. It's only seven questions, but it's on my website. You can enter the answers to seven questions and it will spit out a fish score for you. So if people are intrigued, they can go and measure their own fish score, but they can do it on their own. All you have to really think to yourself is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilled did I feel today? How inspired did I feel today? How successful did I feel today? And how happy did I feel today? And what I would encourage people to reflect on is, what is their definition of fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness? Because if you define them in a way that makes them easy to experience, then your fish score goes up without you having to do very much else.
Right.
And a lot of people struggle because they define success as the big milestones in their life, as opposed to, did I get through yesterday with a smile on my face?
Right.
That was a successful day.
Yeah.
Right. So putting it in perspective is really valuable.
Very well said. And I've often also said, you know, build your life with bite-sized milestones, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well said. Next question for you is that what advice would you have for someone struggling to find fulfillment in their life?
I can really empathize someone who has lost their purpose. One of the ways I have defined my purpose in the past was to be a great dad, a loving husband, and an extraordinary coach. And when Fiona passed away, it was the worst moment of my life. And the middle phrase of that purpose statement ceased to exist. In spirit, I could be a great husband with her no longer with me, but it's very difficult to do that in practice.
Right.
And so I was very lost for 12 to 18 months after she died. And for probably the first time in my life, I felt I had no purpose. And the way it came back was I had to find purpose in the little things. The fact that I was able to cook a meal for my boys, get them to school, get them to sport. The fact that I was able to get up and have a shower. It really came down to some real basics. So first of all is to notice that you still have a purpose even when life doesn't feel full. And to start looking for opportunities to improve your spirit or enlarge or raise your soul. Because everyone can go on that journey, no matter how lost they are. They just have to find a way to contribute, starting with themselves. How can you do something that contributes to your well-being and your wellness? And then when you have capacity, you can start contributing to others, which is a much more significant form of fulfillment.
Well said. So two more questions for you. My next question is that, you know, can you share a moment from your book or a moment of self-discovery that is particularly meaningful for you when you were writing the book?
The last chapter of the book are my 10 favorite moments with Fiona. over our 24 years together.
Mm.
They are my record of my 10, 10, 10, 10 days.
Amazing.
And so they're there for me, they're there to be a record for my family.
Mm.
But those that have read my book have said, it's inspiring to read an example of what a 10, 10, 10, 10 day looks like.
Mm.
Because everyone's got one, you just need to remember them.
Mm. Amazing. And Christopher, my last question to you, as the author of The Joy of Finding Fish, what do you hope your readers will take away from your book?
I'd like readers to see possibility and open up a future of opportunity to live life with some specific tools in mind. So there are practical tools throughout the book to actually change your level of fulfillment, your level of inspiration, your level of success, and your level of happiness. So I would love it if readers left the book with personal strategies to lift their own fish score.
Well said. And on that note, Christopher, and your amazing comment about the 10, 10, 10, 10 score that we must all aspire to, and the fact that you say all of us have it, we just don't see the score because we don't seem to be able to remember or recall our 4 10s for fulfillment, inspiration, success, and happiness. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for also talking to me about your own intimate story of how you lost Fiona and how this has impacted you, both your sons. Thank you for sharing with me your story of the resilience about both your sons and their game. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.